the luminous blue. All I wanted was to be with you. All alone inside my head. All I wanted was to be led.
Good morning. You're listening to Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie. Every Friday here on 1150 AM KKNW, I'll be introducing you to fascinating people, fun places to visit, and activities that are guaranteed to lift your spirits. That's Legacy of Green. Coming back again with Mr. Van Conner.
Yes.
That's our new album.
He's making some good music there.
And Legacy of Green is about returning back to the earth, the green, the blue.
Oh, is that how it's working?
Legacy of
Green. Oh, the
green.
Conveniently how that is this week.
And basically letting go of the stuff that weighs us down, maybe the materialistic part of ourselves, and getting back into nature. And I guess that's where I'm going to go on Sunday. I'm going to go whale watching out of Langley with Puget Sound Express, and I'll be taking Van with us because it's his birthday. And what? It's the Green Day, St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, yeah, on Sunday. So
I'm going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I was just talking about not drinking. And I'll be out on the water looking for whales, whale whispering.
Woo!
I'm excited.
Are they going to wear little like green hats or something like that?
You know what? Who knows what? I'm sure they'll be doing something on the boat. They just took over the Mystic Tours over there. Mm-hmm. And Puget Sound Express, I've been on that boat before out of Edmonds. They have it also in Port Townsend. And Sarah's amazing. She's going to be on the show next week with Howard Garrett from the Orca Network. And it's the Langley Well Center. So if you're really looking for something to do on Whidbey, go to the Langley Well Center. They have this chart, and they'll tell you where the whales are at. And sometimes you can run down and ring the whale bell.
The whale bell?
Whale bell. Whale.
Yeah, you've got to kind of make sure you slow down when you say that one. Everyone out there is trying it right now.
And from the whale bell, you can see where I look for whales on Camano Island. The whale bell. Oh, that's a weird one. But I usually see it on the other side, but Langley faces the favorite beach that I like to go to that I don't tell anybody about. So whale watching, I will be doing that. If you'd like to get our album, you could go to dina-marie.com, and you can download that at many, many places. So let's see. I have to mention a few things I'm doing. March 30th, I will be at a Path to Avalon, 12:30 to 4:30. I'll be teaching Chakras 101 and Feng Shui for fun and doing chakra readings. And that's a great way to start your spring, is lift your spirits this spring with Dina Marie. And it's just kind of finding those blocks. And then Feng Shui is like unpacking. And it's like, you know, going on a diet for your mind. And then setting intentions and moving forward. And this is a good time to do it. The new year is really spring. It's not January. It's really hard to get the party started in January when you're hibernating. But March is a really good time in April to set some intentions and move forward with them. I'll also be teaching March 31st at a Path to Avalon in Arlington. It will be Intuition 101, and I've been wanting to teach that class forever. I usually teach it with the chakra class or the chakra series, but right now your intuition and your higher voice is so important to find it, get direction, and I'll be doing some exercises and teaching you how to find that small, still voice and then use it to move forward, not going out and reading, you know, being psychic for other people, but just using it in your own life. And also there'll be a part where we learn to communicate with the people that have crossed over, maybe your angels or your guardian angels, there's your guides. But most importantly, it's your higher self, that voice that's so clear, and it tells you when to go when the lights are green, tells you when to stay home. And right now, my intuition's saying to do nothing.
At all.
I hate it. I totally hate it, just to be in that place where the universe is working around you and getting things right. So taking time off and relaxing, slowing down is just as important as getting the party started and moving forward. So
that's
what my voice is telling me. And about October, I met a man, and he's just amazing. We talked on the phone for an hour, and I decided to have him on the show. And joining us this morning is Atten. Atten is the owner and founder of Haunted History Ghost Tours of Seattle. Good morning, Atten.
Good morning.
Is it Atten? Atten.
Oh, yeah. Can you? I'm sorry. Hi.
Hi. No.
I was all relaxed.
Hello. No. It was Angela that introduced us. We started chatting on the phone, and you were very, very interesting. And so I really wanted to have you back. And for the listeners who don't know what the Haunted History Ghost Tour is, can you give them a heads up?
We are the only ghost tour in Pioneer Square that has won 3 years in a row the Best Tours of Seattle by Expertise.com, ranking us one of the top tours. what we love about our ghost tour is you can fact check it. We actually really encourage our guests to take every ghost tour and fact check them. Go through, you know, look through the newspapers, look through history books, and we introduce or reintroduce our guests to the Pioneer Square neighborhood and the rich history of Seattle in general. We have an amazing city here.
Well, I can imagine the energy in that area and what you can pick up.
Oh, this, spoiler alert. So this was Native American Holy Land for 4,000 years before the first white settlers showed up.
And that's why we couldn't stop talking, because I was in Snohomish doing my healing work, and that's who I picked up on, was a lot of the Native Americans and the unrest about what happened in that area with the loggers and such. But they were there for thousands of years. We come in and, 50 years, strip it of trees and change their ways. There was a lot of alcohol and liquor involved, and that we know that the Natives really didn't do well with that. But I did a ghost tour for 2 years, and just like you, the history is so rich, and there's so much energy. And you were talking to me about how it's in buildings, and how did you say that?
The
resonance.
So back in the 1960s and 70s, they used to call it the stone tape theory. We today pretty much just call it residual hauntings. And the joke is, can you guess what the number one thing is that we encounter during a paranormal investigation? And the answer is nothing. It's just, if ghost hunting shows were real, you'd be people sitting in a room for 16 hours with nothing happening, you know? But when something does happen, it's so amazing. It's so remarkable. And what we call it is a residual haunting. It's an echo, you know, of energy left over from a person or persons in an object or a place.
And that's so amazing, because I haven't told this story, but when I got there, I was doing healing work, and I started doing healing work with younger kids and their parents, and I picked up on a lot of illegitimate children in that area of Snohomish. And it turned out that the pioneers came in and were with the Native American women, and later on they brought the Here Comes the Brides from the East and brought them over to, you know, clean them up, take them to church, and get them married and such. But I connected with a lot of young children that were homeless, and it was not a good situation. And then I started an after-school teen group, because I actually had spirits wanting me to lift the spirits of Snohomish, and I actually called it that back then. But take that energy and make it more vibrant. And so doing healing work with children, that's where that all came from.
So that is fascinating. So we should talk about this more later, but I'm curious. Do you think these were these intelligent hauntings, or was this residual? Could you interact with these entities?
I had a few, and actually did ghost investigations. And I'll be honest, we found remains under one of the buildings that I was in. You know, some of the town people thought I was a little bit, you know, crazy, but there was this energy, and it was really dark. And eventually, it was Chuck from Sifu Grotto said, Dina, they found something. Electrician went down there, and it was a young person, the remains. But yeah. I think the residual, I think the whole town kind of had a darkness about it. And what I learned is there was like 40 bars on one side of the street, and the other side was for the moms and the kids, where the churches were. But there was a part of the town that was not supposed to be ever crossed for the kids. They were not supposed to go across. In the Oxford Saloon is where my office was. It was a lot of drinking, a lot of beating people up. It was very angry. But the Native American, because my second office was right under a stream that went straight to Blackman's Lake, I believe it is, where it was a salmon run, that's where I started getting some really lovely energy. And that's when I was doing my healing work, my Reiki. So I picked up on some really positive energy, and I believe that was the Native Americans.
Yeah. Chief Seattle said in 1858, he said, though you have driven us off our land, our spirits will always be here. This was not a curse. They were not a vindictive people, just a recognition of the fact that energy, 4,000 years of that magic, that intention, as you were saying, is still here. It's still vibrating off of us, you know.
Mm-hmm. And where did I end up? Kamano Island, which has a strong history where they came from salmon. They came from doing the salmon, went to Snohomish to the river people. And they stopped and partied at Kamano Island at Kama Beach, and that's where all the remains are. And it's just this beautiful, I can tell the energy is really sweet because no one stayed there long enough but to eat and sleep and then move on. So
yeah.
I love Kamano. But yeah, Seattle, I can sense things down, especially you're in Pioneer Square. Is that where you're at?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pioneer Square. Pioneer Square is one of the best preserved Victorian business districts in the nation. I don't want to make this sound like a plug. I just love talking with you. Our guests, we're hoping that when people from Seattle, from around the area, come to Pioneer Square, that when they leave, whether you came to the ghost tour as a believer or not, like, I can't change your mind. I'm not gonna. I can't make a believer out of an unbeliever. That's not even something we try to do. If I could do that, the Pope would have me on speed dial. He's never called me, you know. But we can tell you what we actually do as paranormal investigators. We can talk about the history. And if you are from the area, we hope that people will walk away with a renewed, fresh look at this old neighborhood and be like, wow, I did not know that. That's one of our goals.
And it's fascinating. I say fascinating people, but when I was working with the Washington State Ghost Society and they came in and they did the investigations and, you know, kind of helped me understand what I was. Was it residual? Was it an actual being or a person without a body talking to me? And some were. So it was tuning me up, my higher chakras, so that you can get through to the other side. Plus, if your spirit is high, you can also talk to your loved ones. And that's the class I like to teach. You know, there are communication that goes on while you're dreaming or while you're driving and you're in that trance state. But that's kind of what investigators do. They get into that place. And sometimes you do have people crying for help. That's what I've
You know what, actually, John Oliver? Have you ever watched John Oliver?
The funny guy?
Yeah. He does Last Week Tonight stuff.
Uh-huh.
I admire him a lot. He's a great comedian. He does really some good. I like how he uses humor to look at things. And anyway, you know, he just recently did an episode on mediums and psychics and just tore the whole thing apart. And I actually think that everyone should watch that episode because everything he says there is true about charlatans and how to spot charlatans. But, you know, I speak to the dead. I mean, I'm a medium. I'm a psychic. I have these things, and I'm still always skeptical. I'm always, you know, trying to tear it apart and figure out what the scientific explanation is for it. But so I think when someone says, like you just said earlier, like you know, they think you're crazy. You know, that's a common thing, right? You know, just because there are charlatans, and even those people that are fakes aren't fakes all the time. Maybe they got to that point of being a fake because they were trying to make it happen all the time and they couldn't. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't mean, okay, like just because there's a five charlatans in some field doesn't mean that all of them are all of the time. What I mean is I think that episode is very important because people should know what to look for so that they themselves don't get fooled.
But we
can't discount the reality. And Angela, who you just mentioned, you know, she's been in my life since 1988, and she's amazing. And with my own experiences and with your experiences, so there is the reality of it there.
And for me, I don't. My higher voice says it's not for amusement purposes. It's just to relay messages for me, anyways.
Yeah, no, I'm same. Absolutely.
And it will be totally when I least expect it. I'll get a tap, and it's like a phone call, and
yep.
I can hear the voice loud and clear, and they're trying to get through to someone who's hurting. That's all they use me for at this point, is just to say something to a stranger, and then that person gets the message. And sometimes that person comes through over and over again because they want me to move them through a certain part of their life because I'm a healer.
Yeah.
And I really am, because I really do that. In Hawaii, it was three families that came through the healing center, all lost somebody just recently. You know, it was a mother and a father and a husband. So that's kind of what I do. And I don't want to do it all the time. But when you get the tap and that inner voice says, you know, ask them this question, and then they light up, it's almost like they're trying to get through, but they're so depressed, low spirits.
You know, when back in the late 80s, early 90s, I was involved in the occult. I was heavily involved in doing rituals and seances and candle magic and et cetera, et cetera. And that's what led me into paranormal investigation. So the reason I was involved heavily in the occult is I was trying to figure out a way to control it so that I could have a say in how I, you know, how it, anyway. That's a really arrogant approach that I was taking. And I'm privileged now. Like when I am contacted, I think I'm just humbled by the whole thing. But I certainly can't control. I can't decide. Well, you're going to talk to me now. You know what I mean?
No, I never could say, okay, I'm going to call some spirit from the other side just randomly. That is not how it works for me whatsoever. Right. And I wouldn't even want to do that. It's not for the fun, entertainment. It's just basically, it's history that you're telling. You're getting a message across that we can talk to the other side, which is really important that we learn that we don't go to other people for that, but we learn how to do it. And so I think that's really important. And I know when I work with the ghost people, they help me. I want to say they helped me tune up and be more open to it, but also that I wasn't crazy.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's half of our job is, hey, we would like to investigate this, you know, this location. Please don't think we're crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the energy around you. So you're saying, you know, if you go to Europe, there's going to be energy compared to Camino.
Oh, yeah.
Or you go down to Seattle or, you know, a new place like Factoria. I don't pick up a lot of stuff in Factoria.
We've talked about this. Hawaii, the second you step off the plane, you can feel how different the land vibrates.
Oh, yes, it does. Don't make me homesick. But it wasn't invaded. It has a lovely feminine energy about it. And that's why women stay there. They don't want to leave. They love that place. And men tend to be softer there because it just feels like, I call it the womb. But there's energy all around us. And that's what we're helping people understand.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad because we had an amazing talk before I went to Kauai. So I knew I had to have you on. But I've been watching on Facebook, and after the break, I want to talk about what you've been doing to inspire me.
Sure, thank you.
You're listening to Lift Your Spirits. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In the morning, in the light of day, reality can hold me. Legacy of
Did you know that we live in the best place in the United States to see whales? Right here in the Salish Sea. We have orcas, humpbacks, gray whales, and so much more. Go whale watching with Puget Sound Express, and they guarantee you'll see whales or your next trip is absolutely free. Daily tours from downtown Edmonds on the Chilcat Express, the fastest boat in the Northwest. See whales in the wild with Puget Sound Express. That's PugetSoundExpress.com.
Thinking about getting away for a day or an overnight stay? Pristine Pacific Northwest Island beauty is closer and more affordable than you may think. From unspoiled hills to uncrowded Puget Sound shoreline, from wildlife and stately evergreen forests to bald eagles and blue herons, Whidbey and Camino Islands have it all. They're both located in Puget Sound and are an easy drive from either Seattle or Vancouver, BC. Both islands are accessible by bridge, and each island is a wonder of nature and scenic beauty to be enjoyed by the entire family. To visit this classic Pacific Northwest experience, visit WhidbeyCaminoIslands.com or like them on Facebook to see all they have to offer. You'll discover that island time is just a short drive away and can be affordably yours this weekend. Whidbey and Camino Islands, the shortest distance to far away.
A Path to Avalon in downtown Arlington is a metaphysical retail store that carries products from many different belief systems. They have polished stones, crystals, books, jewelry, smudging supplies, and so much more. They offer intuitive readings, Reiki healing, and classes on a variety of subjects. Shelley Smith, the owner of A Path to Avalon, invites you to stop in and lift your spirits. For more info, visit apathtoavalon.com. Explore and find the tools to assist you on the path towards spiritual peace and enlightenment.
Multicultural, multidimensional even. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie. And when I do personal training, it's for the body, mind, and spirit. So, Atten, what have you been doing for your body lately?
I turn things around. I couldn't be happier. Like, I'm literally giggling and smiling right now, and I wouldn't have felt this way 6 months ago. I sound like a commercial for some health food product, but I can't tell you enough. I become... I'd become the passenger, like in my own life. I was miserable. I had no energy. I'd watched my waist go from a 28 to a 36. My belt of many years was just literally like one more pizza slice away from not fitting. I had to lay on my back, and my closet had jeans from size 28 all the way up to, I had a 38 in there just because I thought that's where I was going. You know, I was like, pretty soon I'll have to wear this. And then, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I'm like, listen, I've been miserable here for a couple of years. I was trapped in a very unhealthy relationship, and I'm not blaming anyone else. It was what it was. I'm not going to do this. 3 months from now, I'm not going to be here. A week from now, I can't be here. I can't. So, I found out about intermittent fasting. And holy cow, I cannot say enough good things about what that. At first, I started, you know, dieting, just regularly exercise, and just trying to be good to my body. And then you'd hit these plateaus, you know, where you just, like, you don't lose weight for a while. And that was really frustrating. And then I found out about intermittent fasting, and I can't say enough good things about that.
And what you reminded me of is I used to, for years and years, do a 3-day fast once a month and then slowly bring in, you know, veggies, fruits. And then at the last of the month, the week of the end of the month, I would eat whatever I wanted and then go back to the fasting. And for years, I never really dieted. I just did that. And so watching you, probably, it's been 4 months. Watching you pull out all these things, take these pictures, I was like, you are part of my plan of reminding me that what I used to do and totally forgot about. And so why do you believe fasting helps you so much?
Well, so first, the word, if I can just say this, if fasting sounds scary, like what? I gotta not eat for a lot, but it's not like, you're still gonna eat, with intermittent fasting, you're still gonna eat your full daily calorie intake. It's just that the window in which you do it is a smaller window. You know, and so you basically, you know, you don't eat for, you know, from 7 o'clock at night until like noon the next day, right? And that's easy to do. You can have tea, you can drink plenty of water, you can do all that kind of stuff, and then it forces your body to go into a state where it burns. It needs the fat to burn for fuel, and you're not going to lose muscle mass. In fact, I found that my brain is clearer thinking, that I actually gain muscle faster. It's an amazing. And there's so many videos on YouTube. There's so much science behind it, and it's not at all scary. It's not hard to do. I can't sing its praises enough.
Well, what do we wake up? Supposedly, it's called breakfast. It's called break fast. So you're supposed to quit eating around 6. You know, like you said, go to bed. That's when your body like starts to heal itself. You give it some like rest. And then break fast, like lunch, and it's called Fit for Life was what I came across, and that's where you do food combining, which is you eat really light in the morning, which is what they want is all fruit or maybe yogurt, and then you don't eat lunch till noon, like you said. But there's lots of ways to do it, and then your body gets healthier because that's time to repair itself.
Yeah, one of the big lies that even doctors repeat is you hear that breakfast is the most important meal of the day thing, right?
I was going to do the sound. Sorry, yeah, it's not.
So that was a slogan created by cereal companies. And we all think it's medical science.
And as soon as I eat something like that, I'm tired for the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah.
So eating light, especially, I used to eat light all day long. And, of course, I had lots of energy. And, of course, I lost weight easily. When you sit down, I used to watch people, like, have a lunch with a hamburger, french fries, and a pop, and then dessert. And I'm like, how in God's name do you think after that? How do you go back to work?
Yeah. Yeah, So now I lost 10 pounds the first month. But that was before intermittent fasting. That was just regular exercise. And your body tends to lose weight quickly at first, right? But then it pretty rapidly goes into that mode where it hits plateaus. And that's where I got frustrated. And so that's where this came in. And now I am without barely even trying, I'm losing a pound and a quarter per week consistently, easily, right? So 5 pounds per month. So I've gone from this horrible state of having no energy and being aggravated and upset and with myself, looking at myself in the mirror going, ugh, how did I do this? And to now, I'm back down to size 30 now, waist. I've lost 6 pant sizes. I'm almost at the 20, back to the 28 again. The only thing I learned on the way was that I was depleting my electrolytes. And I think that's something I wish I had known in the beginning, too. I have to, you know, regiment my diets to make sure I'm replenishing my electrolytes.
And that's just listening to your body.
Yeah.
And what I love is that you exercised. And what I've learned was that the personal trainers, people got really mad at me the first month because, like, I get on the scale, I've gained weight. Well, we know that you're gaining muscle when you exercise and do weightlifting. So that's a good sign. If you gain weight 4 weeks into it and you're exercising, good for you. Then if you're gaining weight after 8 or 10 weeks, probably not so great. But that living tissue, that muscle will burn calories while you sleep. So the fact that you're exercising, because some people just do the fasting, right, or the dieting, and you have to do both.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And I think that I think the scale can be definitely a very demotivating factor if you rely on that. It's great to do at least once a week, check your weight, whatever, you know, but to do it daily, that's horrible. But I think really, like, your waist size is the main factor there.
Inches, and you can be a thin fat person. So you're how toned you are is a big deal. So you can squeeze, like, you know, fat into a skinny pair of jeans, but your muscle is a good determination, which is the measurement between your waist or your thighs or hips.
And yeah.
So measuring yourself, like, maybe you weigh yourself when you start, give yourself 4 weeks, and then you watch your pants, how they fit. That's how you know.
You know, there's another process, too. I think that can be difficult, but once we get it through, you and I were talking last night, you know, like, so, like, me going to the gym, the first 10 minutes, I hate it. Oh, my gosh. Like, I want to, the time is going by so slow. But I do cardio, you know, and then 10 minutes in, all of a sudden, my endorphins are running. My body feels like it suddenly has more energy, and then it's cool. I have a good time at the gym.
And then don't you hear the Rocky song?
Da-dun, da. Oh, yeah.
That's what I hear. Like, 20 minutes, I'm like, I am a superstar. And it's endorphins, and you get oxygen to your brain again. Because, you know, it's so amazing, the cardio. And that's where I get all my aha moments. So I say I do it for my mind. You know, my body gets to come along for the ride, but it does something for your state of mind.
And something you just said a little bit ago. So a friend of mine just recommended this book, The Power of Now. And that's just what you were talking about earlier, the power of intentions and manifestation. So I'm going to get that on audio book now and use that at the gym, see if I can learn anything from that.
Oh, and I used to read, even on the treadmill. People are like, you're crazy. But, you know, they saw me reading these books. It was 45 minutes, believe it or not, sitting on a bike and then running. But in the end, that's where I really started my day. It was like 7 in the morning, maybe 6:30. And I miss getting up that early and starting my day like that. Because, see, again, you're reminding me of the things that used to work for me. And then, of course, your day goes better. You meet more positive people. And let's talk about your mental attitude. So do you think that had something to do with it?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's everything is all so connected to everything. I was thinking about last night. It's almost like remember Tetris? You know that game Tetris?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the blocks fall out of the sky and you got to put them in so they line up. Like, when you're unhealthy, they're just falling out of the sky randomly and cluttering each other. Blah, 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 blah. But, you know, you start getting your life, each little factor, this little, and get that, and then everything else gets better.
I love it. Again, thank you. I've made some changes, and, you know, it takes a while, like, again, to get on the scale and maybe see the weight or the inches come off, but changing habits and daily habits. And I told you about me going to the movies for the first time in 7 years.
Yeah.
Paying $25 for popcorn and pop and candy because I was with my grandson and I wanted to do something at night, which I'd never have done this before. And I was sick. And it was toxic waste that I paid to eat with my grandson watching a Legos movie. I'm not going to do that ever again.
Yeah. If I see another pizza ever again, it'll be too soon.
And I was telling you how I started eating pizza, and I don't think I'm allergic to gluten. I think I have a hangover after eating it.
Yeah, there's a big difference between that. Yeah, definitely. You're totally right. The food I was eating, the junk food, the unhealthy foods, you totally get a junk food hangover completely.
And it was yesterday. Whenever we were talking, I had just needed internet. Remember that whole Instagram, Facebook the other day?
Yeah.
I made a post because I'm helping somebody make posts, and it would not post, so I kept going to find internet. Finally, I had to go to a shop that had internet. Never been there. I ate a panini. When I was talking to you, I felt really stupid, and I could only think it was having that bread right before we talked, and it made me not as bright as, you know, we were having a great conversation, but I just thought, wow, I don't feel like myself. And I think it was the sandwich. It's food. Food is medicine,
yeah.
Right? So we have to eat right. have a positive mental attitude. Now, do you remember a light bulb going off when you decided to move forward with this?
Well, you know, you asked me that last night, and I thought about that a while since then. There was, but I didn't actually get to use the light from that bulb for many months because I was trapped in that situation with someone who unfortunately has a drinking problem, and I have great sympathy for what she's fighting and what she's going through, but that made it even more frustrating because the light had gone off. Like, I cannot live this way anymore. I have to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And trying to get that person to want to be healthy with you, and it's not happening, you know? So it was even more frustrating because I'd spent months like, I got to fighting this, and then until finally away from that situation where I was able to just completely immerse myself into the healing process, healing myself, healing my body, healing my mind.
And that's that energy, and you and I are probably givers. You know, I'm not saying they're givers or takers, but sometimes I have codependency issues, and taking care of people is what I do and kind of put myself on the back burner. And so it comes to that whole self-love, you know, and loving yourself enough to give yourself the same gift that you would give people that you care for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. One of the hardest lessons that I got to keep reminding myself is love myself. And it sounds like a tagline, but it is so true. As long as it's healthy, love yourself as much as you would love someone else. Like, I can love someone so much. Like, I'm just all I ever do is think about them and just want to help them and make them happy and do. But how often do we do that for ourselves?
That's why I run away to Hawaii, because when I get there, they all expect me to take time for myself. They expect me to be selfish. I've trained them to do that, so I have to do that in other places in my life. And my clients, when I was doing healing work, really helped me because they taught me to do that first. Go home, leave that at my healing space, and not bring my clients home. Then I started doing that with my children. So now my children and I have a healthier relationship. Then it's the person closest to you, your partner, that I think that is, you know, you're with them all the time. And so you have to practice self-love with the people closest to you, the people you sleep with. And I think that's where, you know, I teach, it's the books, Our Energy Matters. But, you know, if you're sleeping next to somebody who is angry, who has a bad day at work all the time or is negative, then you take on that energy. So you have to grow together.
I preach this all the time. We are the company we keep. We birds of a feather flock together. Energy, this is the easiest one. Energy travels in the path of least resistance. So when you get to a point in your life where you're tired of looking the way you do in the mirror, or you're feeling the way you're feeling, it's actually not easy. It, as much as you're like, okay, I'm just going to change everything, you have been in a negative flow for so long. Now you're going to have to try to change the direction of that river, right? It's not easy at first, but when you say enough is enough, and I'm going to change the direction, it's a little bit of a struggle. But once you get in that healthy path again, it'll be just the same as it was before when you were negative. Like, it's easier to make positive changes once you start making little positive changes. The Tetris, those blocks start getting easier and easier to fit them into place.
And when you feel good, you attract better a group of people. So that support group, you know.
Oh, yeah, and you find healthier people, exactly.
By going to the gym, you're going to find healthier people than, like I was telling you, I was just having that beer or two just to visit with people, and actually part of that was my music, booking the bands, and showing up. But that's like a habit, and it was becoming, because I didn't think about how many Saturdays I'd be at a pub. But in the end, there's that I was making a habit of it. So you have to stop. I say get off the treadmill, make a U-turn, try something else, and then all of a sudden that becomes a habit. That's going to the gym. That's shopping at the co-op. Or, I mean, just before, you know, you think about pulling into a fast food place. Right now, I don't even want to eat out. It doesn't even sound fun.
Yeah, no.
Because I've been cooking my own food for 6 months.
Yeah. And also, too, I think it's important, like, when we set goals and expectations of ourselves, make sure that it's okay to not meet them all the time. Because that can be so, I'm going to go to the gym every day, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And well, no, you're probably not. I mean, you're going to do the best you can. And doing the best you can will help you improve. Eat little bit by little bit. And then, you know what I'm saying?
And be kind to yourself. So I say set intentions. That's why I love the feng shui class. You have your health. You have your relationships, career. And you write just five things, there's actually six corners or seven, but health. I want to eat and drink in moderation. I want to get up earlier, go to bed earlier, get out in nature, you know, every other day. Just a real playful sketch of what you want.
Yeah.
But don't say, like, on your calendar, if you don't go to the gym, shame on you, because no one likes that.
Yeah. No. You know, and what do they call it, a vision board or something, or a dream board where you write things on a...
Yeah, vision board.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't have one of those, but I can see how that would be totally helpful because, I mean, what I do have is I keep a calendar, like, hanging on my wall that I'm tracking my weight, I'm tracking the times I do, and when I see all that, you know, how it just makes it easier to go again. And I think having some visual representation of everything you've done, a reminder of, like, hey, I'm doing all right.
And you remind me of my daughter. She struggled with weight in middle school. And I got the life cycle out, and we started drinking water and eating right. And we put her face in the middle of this little bodybuilder lady. And it was so funny because really did. I just remember that, April. But it was one of those things like, yeah, having that on the refrigerator made her not want to go in there and overeat because she was emotionally upset or, you know, she's a middle child. She called it middle child syndrome. But, you know, your emotions have a lot to do with weight. And I think what we'll do is we'll take a break and then we'll talk about that. You're listening to Lift Your Spirits with Dean Marie. We'll be right back after this short message.
Strange earth, a luminous blue. All I wanted was to be with you. All alone inside.
Aloha! Join me, Dina Marie, on the island of Kauai. Let me be a tour guide for your spirit and a travel agent for your soul. You'll receive daily healing sessions and experience fun, interactive outings to some of my favorite places, sacred sites, secluded beaches, and sunrises that will lift your spirits. Go beyond the tourist spots, meet fascinating locals, and leave with amazing memories. Retreats are based on your schedule and budget. For more information, visit liftyourspiritswithdinamarie.com.
Are you tired of the cold? Can't seem to get warm? Do you suffer from body aches, insomnia, or stress? Looking for relief? Why not experience the amazing health benefits of the Amethyst Crystal Biomat? The Biomat is an FDA Class 2 medical device. It uses NASA technology and produces the health benefits of far infrared and negative ions. The soothing and warming effect of the biomat penetrates 6 to 8 inches into the body, and the healing benefits are amazing. For more information, visit dolphinbiomat.com or call us at 808-822-4414 today.
Need help getting started with self-help? You came to the right place. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hi, this is Dina Marie. You've heard me talking about writing songs with Mr. Van Conner. Well, I'm happy to say that our album is out now.
It's called Coming Back Again, and it features songs like Legacy of Green, Silent Universe, and the title track, Coming Back Again.
Our album, Coming Back Again, is now available for streaming and purchase at your favorite online retailer, including iTunes, Amazon, Apple Music, Spotify, and many more.
Go to dina-marie.com. That's dina-marie.com for a full list of retailers.
Watching the sunrise, an ocean stands between us. Look into the sky, think of second chances. Look into the past, a thousand miles between us. You know you'll.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Coming back from great break. Know You're Coming Back. That's Van Conner coming back again as our album. You can go to dina-marie.com and check out how to get that album or listen to some of the songs. And also, if you want to take my class at A Path to Avalon, March 30th or 31st, you can go to their Facebook page, Dina Marie Facebook page, Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie Facebook page, or my website. Give me a call like Angela did and look what came of that. Right, Aiton?
Yeah. Aiton? Yeah.
Sorry.
Enough, right?
Aiton, jeez. So, one thing is this. I met you in October. You've been inspiring me ever since. You had no idea. Did you?
No. I'm still... I don't deserve any of that. You inspire yourself. You inspire yourself. I'm not taking any credit for that whatsoever.
Well, you're humble, but just know I've been watching you and I'm pretty excited about getting, because it's spring and this is a really good time for me to start doing the thing I want to do. I mean, it is hard to start in, you know, January or December, but this seems like a perfect time for me to get that party started. So I have clients, and as they came to me for eating, overweight, smoking issues, it's the throat chakra, it's oral fixation about, you know, keeping your mouth quiet or trying not to you know, empower yourself and say things you shouldn't, whatever the case was. As a hypnotherapist, people lost weight when they went through their emotional baggage, when they went through stuff they hadn't talked about, or and I don't have you go back and sit in it. You know, we go back, I call it time travel. You find that thing. You look at it, and then you move forward, and you figure out, what can I do to shift that? What did I learn from that? How can I make a move and step away from it? But that time travel, and my friend Tanya called it peeling the onion, and now she has lost the weight. But first of all, she wanted to have that hypnotizing session where she just quit eating forever. But it probably took her 5 or 6 years to get to a healthy place. But do you find that... you have some emotional baggage to let go of, or maybe the people around you weren't supporting you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like the person around me wasn't supporting me in that. And again, I'm an adult. I take responsibility for my actions and whatnot. But it's really, really difficult when you're with someone who's very unhealthy, you know, to change. I'm someone who was really lucky. I was someone who was always really thin. Like, you could eat tons and not gain weight kind of person, you know. And then... you get older, your body metabolism slows down a bit, you're not as active, and then you start putting on weight. And it's a little bit more of a struggle to keep the weight down, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm over 50. Totally understand.
Yeah,
almost
same.
55,
yeah.
And my body doesn't act the same, doesn't look the same, and it's changed a lot. But I do know when I feel good and when I don't feel good. I'll bring some things up. Going to bed a little bit earlier, getting up a little bit earlier, making sure you do some activity daily. Half hour to 45 minutes is really good. Weightlifting, because especially women, we lose muscle mass. Like each year, it just goes down, down, down. Plus our testosterone. If you start lifting weights and exercising and eating right, your testosterone level goes up, especially for men, right?
Yeah, you know what? Something you just said. Several times I've thought of mentioning this, and I think now obviously there's a message. There's someone listening that needs to hear this. Like, so women often I feel like are scared to lift weights. They're afraid how it's going to do. But building some muscle mass is really important for weight loss. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's how you're going to burn calories. You know, when you're not at the gym, how you're going to burn calories outside of that.
Well, and if you lose a lot of weight and you don't do the muscle building, you have a lot of extra skin.
Yeah.
So if you want to fill that up, you do like your biceps and your triceps, especially
yeah.
women with their arms and men. But then that muscle is living tissue. You think about it; it's got blood flow. It's getting rid of toxic waste. So
yeah. The
more muscle you have, the healthier you're going to be anyway. So and really, what exercising and stretching does is brings more blood to your body, which delivers oxygen.
Dina, water. Did you know? I can't. So I used to think that I used to think that drinking lots of water made you feel full, and that's why it helps you lose weight. But I did not realize, and something I've only learned recently. And I guess I'm completely idiot for not knowing this. But you know that drinking water also helps increase your metabolism.
Oh, and the kind of water you drink is really important
too.
Oh
yeah, absolutely. I have filtered water definitely.
We go to the well. Here in Linwood, and I get well water. In Kauai, I got it's a artesian well, but you know you can really tell a difference in water when you start drinking the good stuff, and
yeah.
You just gotta be careful. Some of the water we're getting is not good.
Yeah,
it's not
sure.
healthy water. So drinking water all day long, Fasting, like to me, it's like you said, from 6 to what you said, noon?
Yeah, well, so it's different for men and women. For men, I think it's 15 hours is how long it takes. I'm pretty sure it's 15 hours for men for their body kicks into the state where, you know, it's burning fat for fuel. And for women, I think it's an hour less, so it might be like 14 hours minimum, right? And then I try to time it so that I'm going to the gym at that very last sort of hour. So at the very last part of where my body is, you know, going to be using that fat for fuel, that I'm at the gym working out for that time.
And longer intervals, like I have people that do 10 minutes and they're just breathing heavy. When you get that second wind, that's when you're burning fat. When you feel good and you're exercising, you're burning fat. So slow and steady, get to a point where you can still talk to the person next to you. Stay there as long as you can. When you start feeling tired, that's when you're going to burn carbs. So fat is fuel. It's I guess it's 9 to 4. You know, I used to know all this stuff. But if you are feeling good, you're burning fat. You might be burning toxins too. So maybe at first you're going to feel sick because you're getting rid of all that toxic stuff stored in your fat. But
yeah.
Getting that 20 minutes right where you feel really good, maybe each time a little bit longer, but you want to feel good when you get off because you're burning fat, not the carbs that you use while you're, you know, walking down the road, taking care of your kids or going to work. So exercise is so important.
And also you'll look back and be like, hey, I developed healthy habits. And now you're enjoying those healthy habits and the food that you're eating. You're loving it. You're loving how you fit back into your pants. I've lost 40 pounds from just wanting to not be miserable anymore.
And your heart's a muscle. I did the heart chakra work, but when you're doing cardio, you're pumping that blood, and that heart is, we know how important that is the older we get. So doing cardio, like I had bodybuilders that only did weightlifting. You know, it's a balance. It's stretching, muscle building, and then it's also cardio, and then your diet, and then sleep. So sleep is when you repair. That's when you know, that's why the hypnotherapy is really important. You know, use meditation before bed. Turn off your television. Take a bath. You know, slow down so that you can sleep like 5 to 6 hours. That's really all you need if you're sleeping. If you're awake for 10 hours, that's just it's not the same thing. So finding that time to rest is just as important. And the last thing I'll have to say is, like, put yourself on a diet of cool people. People that will support you, and when you're doing well, will actually bring you an extra water or a supplement that doesn't want to give you a cigarette when you quit smoking, or doesn't want you to drink when you quit drinking, or gives you that ding-dong. You know, I remember when I tried to get healthy sometimes, I had a family that would constantly see me getting better and then would want to sabotage me, you know?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. My mom has gone through with her. Yeah, it's almost like they're jealous. Like, it's almost like people are jealous seeing you get healthy or something. I don't understand it.
Yeah, they want to bring you back down to their level because they don't feel good about themselves. But if you can be around people, that's why I love teaching. I was around women at first, and then it was mixed men and women. And we just, you know, I'd have a thought for the day. I'd recommend a book like The Power of Now or whatever. And people, we became like a little, they call me Dr. Dina. I'm not a doctor, but it was a little family, you know, and it was very lovely. And the gyms for me are not the same as they used to be when we just had classes and a treadmill. Now we have like, there's so many different machines. People aren't really talking anymore, and they're basically have their headsets on.
Oh, yeah.
It's not what it was before. There was a lot more socializing going on. And so I love going to the parks. I love taking walks out in nature. I usually run into somebody, but, you know, my therapist is Mother Nature. My therapist is an eagle flying overhead or a whale swimming, or, you know, even the birds right now are coming out. And when I hear them sing, it lifts my spirit. So getting out in nature, and that's really therapy.
Yeah, I'm hoping to really do some more of that this year, for sure.
Well, and when you've lost the weight, you'll feel better when you're out there walking. You know, I've had a hurt knee where I couldn't do any of that, and it really was depressing. That's
yeah,
when my blood pressure
imagine,
was high.
Me, just a year ago, 40 pounds heavier, going outside, taking out my even working, even going leading tours in Pioneer Square, like I was limiting what shirts I could wear. I felt like my fat was rolling over my pants and different, and it was just, I was so miserable.
You just have more freedom when you feel good about yourself. And you're healthier. So there's all kinds of things we can do, but the key is to just do one. Just do one today, and it could be even picking up a book on nutrition. Whatever it is, just do something. Drink more water. But I want people to know how to come out and see you. How can they do that?
Oh, thank you. Well, it's a pretty easy name to remember. It's Haunted History Ghost Tours of Seattle. Haunted History Ghost Tours of Seattle. And if you just Google that, or if you just Google, if you just look up Ghost Tours in Seattle, you'll see our, you'll see us right up there.
And then you normally do the tours?
Yeah, yeah. And right now we're only doing tours Friday and Saturday. And I'm hoping to get back into expanding our nights and our tour guides here soon. I think we're going to be able to start expanding that. We've just launched our podcast, which is, it's just a monthly podcast where we find someone locally who is a healer, who is a practice, who is involved in actively sending love and energy and good, you know, into our communities. Angela is co-hosting that with me.
That makes me happy. And then you can see that on your YouTube page?
Well, yeah, you can go to our YouTube page. There's certainly the links for it there. I'm hoping to have them up on the website, our, you know, hauntedhistoryseattle.com. And so there should be multiple, and also our SoundCloud page. So this is sort of something we just started this year, and we're hoping to see take off.
But so, how if would I go to your website? That's where I'll go. Where I'll go?
Yeah, yeah. If you go to, like, if you go to our website, Haunted History Seattle, you can go to our YouTube page from there. There's a link there, or we have a page that we've just started to work on called Podcasts, and that I know the Coop Teflon, the full, our very first podcast was 2 hours long. I mean, I know that's a lot, but Kook is a really amazing human being, and she's gonna she's moving to New Orleans now. So I'm glad that we got this full time with her, you know. She does a lot of ancestral work, talking to the dead, mediumship, you know.
And I watched your Facebook page, of course, and you are taking team building or tours, larger tours?
Oh, the private tours?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, that is so cool. And we, a company will call, for example, will contact us and ask about a private tour as a team building exercise. And that's just really, again, another one of those humbling things. I know that we're towards the end of this, but look, you know, I was paralyzed in a hospital bed not too long ago, told I would never work again or ever walk again. And now I operate one of the most successful tour companies in Seattle, and my job is walking. And I'm grateful for every single day, for every gift that comes.
Do you look up? Do you have a spiritual side to yourself?
Yeah, it's complicated, though.
Yeah. For me, I set it out there. I ask and I count my blessings every day. And I have to say the things I'm really, really thankful for. But there are times, like, I just made my password, everybody, it says help me. Because sometimes I just feel like if I don't look up and ask, I feel like I'm driving while blind. So that spiritual side.
And even perceived, you do an entire show on this sometimes, even perceived setbacks can be the best thing ever. Because then, that didn't go the way you wished it had gone. But oh, wow, this other thing that happened would have never happened had it not been for that previous setback.
It's all good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Atten, for being on the show. And I'm sure I'm going to come out and get a tour with you. I'm so excited.
For sure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, thank you for joining us. You can check out what I've got going on at liftyourspiritswithdinamarie.com. And you can go to my Facebook page, Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie. And we're going to end the show with one of our songs. Which one is it, Benny? I don't remember.
It's The Times I Let You Down, correct?
The Times I Let You Down. Mm. I love this song. It's about basically taking what do you call when you say, I have part of the problem and I can fix this? I am part of the problem.
Okay.
All right. Join us next week for more people, places, and activity to lift your spirits.
Watching the sun go down. You always said. Tortured by the past, we just couldn't be hurt again. to the night.